John, before we get going, I've got to ask people to like and subscribe to the Big Jim Show. Do you want to do that? Can you do that for me?
Do I say something?
Yeah.
Yeah, like and subscribe to the Big Jim Show. One of my absolute favourites.
It is your favourite, yeah. Isn't it? Yeah. So please like, subscribe, comment, abuse me. I'm not bothered, but apparently that's what we need to do to get the algorithm up.
Is that right?
Big Jim Show.
Big Jim Show.
Big Jim Show.
Sign up and...
like and subscribe.
And pay his mortgage.
Please.
Interest rates are going up.
Bang.
Big Jim is wearing his heels. Marching around the town to get some food.
On this episode, I'm joined by a former teammate of mine. He was my captain, I was his vice captain. It's the powerful, the legendary, John Barkley. I'm a beer dick owls. I showed her up some whiskey and he shoot it like a ball. Big Jim. Oh, you alright? You like the studio?
You've come a long way, that's what I would say.
I know.
I was actually chatting to Hayley about it the other day. I said, I met you 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Scotland camp. There's about 30 people in that squad. If they had said, pick the guy or put them in order, who's going to be recording podcasts in the studio, you would have been number 30, big guy. But look at you.
You say that, right, Chris Cusseter. I've spoke to him about it. He said there was only one man for the job. Storyteller. Used to make up a load of stories.
Well, yeah, who knew what podcasts were, though?
Exactly. I've morphed into this role.
And now you do tier 2 media.
Tier 2 media. You are tier 1, John.
No. Not for much longer.
Why not?
Stuart Hogg.
Well.
Stuart Hogg.
When he's doing TNT, we're both doing ITV for the World Cup.
Yep, because.
That is tier 1. That is mainstream.
We've made it.
That seat there was meant to be Ryan Wilson. Yeah. As well. It was meant to be a trio today.
I messaged him today.
Did he message you back?
He did.
How funny.
Voice notes.
Where is he? Is he in Bezier? I'm going to say it because he's Judas as well, not coming on.
I think he's waiting for his contract.
How funny.
He wasn't meant to do.
Well, he's one of those that takes the bull by the horns. So Ryan Wilson, former Scotland player with two legends.
Yeah. My old roommate.
One of the funniest guys ever. So he was meant to come today with us and we were just going to have a crack and go off on a tangent. And I ring him and said, are you coming in or not? He's like, no, I'm in France. I'm in Béziers. I said, what are you doing? He said, he's got a pen in his hand. He's got a contract that he's made up. He's trying to get the president to sign it.
They've asked him, when's the last time you played? He said, last week. About a year ago, he's not played for.
He's not even trained. I said, have you done any training? He said, no, I've just been drinking.
Mate, his head is like an orange on a toothpick right now. There's nothing of him. And he's going to try and play Pro D2 in France and get his head kicked in.
What he said to me, any advice? I said, mate...
Don't do it. I said, do it.
He must have nothing. He must have squandered everything. The old George Best, hell of a life. But
well,
I asked him why he's doing it. He said, well, I've got nothing else, which, again, is hard. We know what it's like coming out of rugby. And he was like, any advice? I said, line outs. I said, learn French, a couple of numbers.
Yeah.
And he was like, what were the lineouts in Montpellier? I said, you don't want to know, but one of them was called Gong Bong. That was
That's why you didn't last very long there.
There was one of them that was called Fisting as well.
Fisting
and Gong Bong. I said, so there might be words, but whatever, own that space because he can go through it. Like, he's good in the lineouts. He can go through the leagues just being a lineout caller.
I'll call it now. He phoned me and said, should I do it? And I initially said no. I said, mate, what, you don't want to go down that. And I sat back and then he kind of explained of, and we can talk about maybe later, like what happens when you retire and you're a bit further out of it than me, but it's pretty terrifying. And he's like, mate, I can't pay my mortgage. So what am I meant to do?
Mm.
So I turned around and said, actually, mate, do go. I reckon I can see him living there in 15 years' time. He will be there. He'll be 150 kilos and he'll be smoking fags. And he'll be having a great time.
He's got a mate who's got a house down there.
Of course he does.
Well. Yeah, I know. Well, he's his best mate now. So he's got a house to stay in.
He's the kind of guy, he goes somewhere and he met the mayor. And apparently he's drinking with the mayor and he says, oh, the mayor owned lots of land. So I'm like, and what? He said, well, I'll be building houses there soon. So watch that space.
You didn't think Wales were good?
No. No.
Do you not think they play with like an identity though? Like when I watch them, at least I can see compared to England. We'll get onto the good teams in a bit.
Scotland.
How good. But like when you look at Wales, shit line out.
Yeah.
Scrum's getting
pinged.
I love
how your first things line out. How boring.
Scrum's getting pinged off the pitch. But actually, as in when I watch them, I know what you can see what they're doing. They're going around the corner. They're trying to be physical. They look big. They look strong. They're aggressive in defence. Like they've got an identity.
Yeah, kind of. But it was a poor, I mean, it's poor. Yeah, I mean, the thing is, they'll actually do well in the World Cup, so all this stuff's irrelevant. And people just throw this back in my face or your face and say, well, they're good.
Who do you reckon will do well?
In the World Cup?
You reckon Wales will?
I think they'll get out of the pool, which I think they would take as success, probably. Who's going to do well at the World Cup? New Zealand?
Yes.
France? Ireland? Yes.
Well, one of them three are going out in the quarter.
Well, exactly. I think Argentina might be England.
You know, I don't even know why I'm doing that.
Well, someone said to me, oh, it's a potential banana skin for England. I was like, potential banana skin for Argentina, probably. It'd be New Zealand.
Yeah.
They absolutely hammered England last time they played them at Twickenham. So yeah.
They do well at World Cups.
Do well at World Cups, time together. Japan, I don't think Japan. No. That was, last World Cup was their one.
Yeah, they've shot off.
So, yeah, Scotland, probably not. Well, maybe, you don't know.
So dowager on. No, Scotland.
Just to put
the... Do you think we're the best we've ever been? I did an interview with Mark today from the Times, and we were going through the archives of... Were you at the 2011 World Cup in New Zealand?
Yeah.
How bad?
Not great.
Were we going through the archives on that? And he was like, oh, what was so bad about it? And I just said, literally, well, we didn't know who the captain was going in.
Yeah.
Because they picked Al Kelleher as captain. Yeah, I got told I'd still be playing, and I did. So we were the only nation in the World Cup whose captain wasn't a starter. And then before we played England in the pool stages, Robert didn't know who his nines were. He was like nines and sevens.
As a seventh, didn't know if I was in.
Did you start against England?
I started.
Yeah, and that was it. And then it was done. That was the last World Cup.
Yeah, I look back on those and I just think, you can only compare it to the teams that you were part of. And the game's moved on and yeah, it's a different game now. Just the difference of players is night and day.
Yeah.
And the difference of the game plan and the structure compared to back then is... It's just not comparable. And it was coached differently. It was a simpler game, arguably.
But it was, and that's what I said.
All we had was work really hard. That was, if you worked your nuts off, you could be in a game. I didn't really play it in that early period. Like, and I probably touched on this period from 2018, 17 to whenever I retired, 19, 20. People talking about Finn Russell as like a world-class player. Not just in Scotland, because that happens sometimes, but you've got... I think Matt Gitto is tweeting, you know, when I grew up, I want to be Finn Russell.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that wasn't happening when we played. When I grew up, I want to be Jim Howland.
Mate, forwards were all right.
John Eales is tweeting that.
Oh, yeah. Big shout out to you, John. That's what I said when I did the article today, and actually got a bit annoyed talking about it, because in 2011, we didn't have a game plan.
No.
We didn't know who our captain was. But this is going to a World Cup, and the backs were shocking. We couldn't score a try, mate. We couldn't score a try.
We almost got beat off Romania.
Exactly. And Simon Danielli scored a couple, and then we had an absolute walkover of Georgia, 9-3 or something.
9-3. Good team.
Whereas now, there's a clear identity. And everyone's like, oh, you know, oh, Scotland, you beat France's second team. I know we didn't beat France at the weekend, but you can literally see what we're trying to do.
Scotland should not beat France in France. When you compare resources, you compare the player pool, you compare their league, there's a rankings for a reason. In France, we shouldn't be France. We shouldn't be Ireland. We shouldn't be England. If you're comparing it on paper.
And on paper means like man for man. Like what,
yeah.
What does Anton Dupont get paid compared to Ali Price?
Yeah, I'm talking
three
more.
Three times the amount.
Yeah, exactly. And it's not all about money, but Scotland managed to punch above their weight. And I think now Scotland have shown that they can compete. And people will laugh, and you get because we played in that era where we didn't win very many games.
They're laughing at us, John.
Probably. And I see CB Ferris and Shanks, and they're laughing. And they're all, and you could do corporate stuff and people having a laugh. And that's fine, because ultimately Scotland need to actually progress beyond what they've done over the last couple of years, which is, how do they do that? I don't know. That's the challenge, isn't it? How do you go from the rest of the best, or the best of the rest, one of those two, to actually, you got to be better than Ireland, or you've got to be better than France at the moment. And England will get better as well. So
I think now, genuinely, we have got world-class players. I think Duan van der Merwe, apparently is he struggling or not? I reckon he's one of the best wingers in the world.
And Darcy.
I thought Carl Steyn, brilliant every time he plays. Yeah. But Duan more, because he's done
Blair,
it.
Blair, how good's he been?
Unreal. And that's what I mean. Like, as in, we're now name dropping. We haven't named a forward.
No. No one talks about the pack anymore.
No. And we've got a good line-out drive, got a good scrum.
Yeah.
We're good players across the back row. Mate, we're good.
We should be.
Come on, let's talk it up.
I think they'll beat South Africa.
I said the same, John.
Did you?
People get to go.
Put it on here. Ugo Monya bet his mortgage that they wouldn't. He probably doesn't have a mortgage.
He doesn't have a mortgage. I think he rents. I don't even know if he has a house. Easy to do,
exactly.
Right. We are saying, me and you are saying, Scotland captain and vice captain,
yep.
We're saying Scotland beat South Africa. Yeah. Scotland beat the world champions in game one.
I think so.
Unreal.
They got to beat one, don't they? We can't. And to anyone who sits here and says, "Yeah, they won't," well, they might not. We can't sit here and see what we've seen and say they can't do it. They can beat South Africa. You know, it's a big challenge. But
I think we have to, because if not now, then when?
And that's what I said. That's what you teased me about, this generation of talent they've got.
Yeah,
it's not coming through underneath it.
My goodness,
under-20s got beat off. Who the other day? Uruguay. Well. Ain't great.
They didn't just get beat by Uruguay. They got beat by Uruguay in Kenya.
In Tier 2.
In Tier 2 World Cup. They weren't even at the under-20s World Cup.
That's pretty depressing. It's pretty depressing.
Yeah, that's pretty
I feel dark. Sorry for those lads.
John, let's not go down the dour route. Let's pick it up. This.
Scotland.
So South Africa.
South Africa beat
South Africa. Let's just talk about how and why.
How?
I don't know.
Give the ball to Finn.
He is on fire at the minute.
Mate, he's a joke, like how good he is. And again, people will say, yeah, but he makes too many mistakes. Yeah, but he does things that other people can't do.
What about his defence? How good is his defence? And he never misses a tackle.
And you've seen him with his top off. He actually looked in decent nick at the moment. I saw him before the France game at home. He's captain. He comes over, lifts his top off. He's eating a gummy bear. I'm like, mate, you're in the right. And then he plays well. Passing game, I think the best passing game in the world.
Yes.
Okay, there's much more to play in 10. You and I don't know. We played in the pack. But kicking game's good. Runs, you know, I think he does things which no other 10s can do. I think him, Sione, Tuipulotu, and Hugh Jones are the key to success.
Yes. Hugh Jones is a test match animal. He's not a week in, week out, is he?
He has been last year.
At Glasgow?
He was good last year. In the back three are mental.
Yeah.
I think one of the best back threes around.
Yeah.
Then you look at Ireland, got a brilliant back three. France have got a brilliant back three. South Africa's, you know, you go through, all the teams have this strength and depth. The question about Scotland is if they'd lost Xander, which they'll get him, that would have been a big problem.
Yeah.
If they lose Finn, it's a big problem.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
We're talking about the obvious, which everyone's talking about. Going around the houses on this, and because I'm at World Rugby, maybe it's my fault, but I know that it's not. But to have all five in that side of the pool is mental.
It's not fair, Jim. It's not fair. And if you get out of the pool, you play France and New Zealand.
And they're the two where I'm like, France is the one that we can beat. I just don't know whether we can beat New Zealand.
I went 2007. You played 2007. I played one game. 2011, out in the group. 2015, we both didn't get picked, and they did well. In 2019, went and knocked out the group.
Why did they do well in 2015? Got beat by Australia.
They had a decent enough World Cup.
They did,
and could have, were it not for a dubious refereeing call. Mm-hmm. We all have them. Made it to a World Cup semi-final
against Argentina.
Exactly.
We'd beaten Argentina recently. Not World Cups. We lost in 2007 and 2011. But that one would have been anyway. We're going over scenarios that didn't happen. 2019, that weren't great. You beat Russia though, didn't you? You got to run out of it.
That was my swan song. It's what everyone always dreams of.
It is ruthless, isn't it? Like when you actually think, again, going back to my conversation with Mark, sports tough, it's amazing, but you very rarely go out the way you want to go out. You go out, oh, I went out on my sword, fucking swinging it and then stuck it in myself.
Yeah.
It was 2019, was that your last involvement?
Last game, yeah.
You were captain against Russia, that was your last game.
They needed me.
Well, at least we both won our final games.
Yeah. Who was yours against?
Italy and Turin in the World
Cup. Oh, yeah, of course. In about 50 degree heat.
Yeah, did it.
Meh, yeah. I mean, I retired during COVID from the game entirely. Stopped from international stuff after the World Cup because the writing was on the wall. But yeah, I mean, I was, I don't know. You don't look back and think, I wish I was still playing, or?
I don't look back and wish I was still playing, but I have regrets. And it's the old saying, I can look myself in the mirror and say I gave nothing more. I can look in the mirror and like say that I could have given nothing emotionally to Scotland, especially. Like I couldn't have given anything more. But I have regrets that I didn't challenge more in big moments. But you're a young bloke, right? I didn't challenge Andy Robinson to say, mate, where's the fucking game plan? What happens if we go slow? We get one shot here at a World Cup, and you've got no idea what you are doing. Like, please, I'm begging you, please. Because if I saw what's coming, that was going to be my last World Cup, I would have begged him on my hands and knees and said, I'll never smoke again when I'm out in Argentina. I will never do that again, Andy, I promise. Just please tell us what we're doing. Where are we kicking the ball?
Yeah.
They're the regrets that I have, that I didn't push hard enough.
Yeah.
And did something, like, as in the biggest void in my life, and you had a bit of glory for Scotland, was winning more games and like having them big moments.
People say, oh, do you regret? I don't regret, but I am jealous of the team that they're in now. I look at it and I think, it looks so much fun. And yeah, they want more success, and they've actually got to, of course, let's just caveat that, they've got to go on and actually have something tangible to hang their hat on, because otherwise these guys all retire and they say, we have the same regrets that we possibly had. But yeah, I'm jealous of that team. I look at 2019, 2015, I'd make it, but 2011 and 19, I just remember 19 especially thinking, this is not going right from very early, pre-season. I'm like, this is not going right.
And that was with Gregor?
Yeah.
And why? Tell us why.
Again, it's all relative, because I ruptured my Achilles, came back, played a couple of games at the end of the 19 season, having been captain in the 18 season, and Scotland had an okay Six Nations, the 38-all game at Twickenham, probably being one of the highlights, bizarrely, even though they drew. And I just didn't think we were all on the same page. Like, personally, I didn't. I thought we're going to Japan, it's going to be about 400 degrees, and everything we're trying to do was play fast. And I'm like, I don't think this is how you win games. And then we saw it in the next Six Nations. They didn't try and play like that.
Did you say anything in the World Cup?
No, not really.
Yeah.
Which is, again, to your point, the regret. Because you can't really. You look back and say, I wish I had the balls to sort of say it. And I think maybe I touched on it with Gregor. I think we need to be a bit more pragmatic, or we need to do this or that. But I just pray, maybe it's personal, I just struggled to keep up with the pace of the game at that point. I could not play at that speed in that heat. And I didn't think it was the right way. I didn't think it was the right approach. So I think the way they play now is much better. But yeah, I look back on that 19 World Cup and I was just, I knew, we played Ireland game one, got hammered. And then I was like, that's the end. So I'm at a World Cup week one and I know my Scotland career is pretty much done. And it was. I was like, I played Russia. Hats off to Russia, but we beat them. And that's all you can say.
Hats off to Russia.
If any Russian listeners.
Yeah. We'll just clip that line. Hats off to Russia.
But yeah, it's just, that's probably my regrets of the World Cups. Probably to your point, not really having the conviction. But I don't think many players can stand up to a coach and say, do you know what, this is crap. And it wasn't crap. It was just, this is not quite what I think we should be doing, or can we look at doing it slightly differently? I know Greg Laidlaw felt the same way, but we were kind of the older guard finishing, and maybe we were just
better. But perceive, if you were to say it's like you're better.
It was like we need to be doing it. We had opinions, and they weren't in line potentially with how Gregor wanted to play the game. Mm-hmm. And he's a brilliant coach. He's a far bigger rugby IQ than I have. So maybe, and probably he is he has got the sort of the leg to stand on with it. But it didn't come off in 2019, which is the proof's in the pudding.
Well, and the relationship with Finn. now, like he, like you mentioned, that draw against England and all the rumours of him apparently standing up at half time saying, nah, we're not fucking doing all this.
The Finn, to your point, that a player like Finn, like who came in to Six Nations and said, I'm not doing it. Whatever, however it panned out, we don't really know. We still don't really know, bizarrely. And he's that player of just, I don't need to do this.
Mm.
Richie Gray, another one. This isn't everything, and I'm going to say I don't want to do it. If it's not done the right way, I'm not doing it. I don't know many players that can get away with doing that and walking away from it and just saying, do you know what, if you're not going to change, then it's not for me, and that's enough. Like Ben Youngs, I know it was a different circumstance with what was going on with his family, but to like walk away from a Lions tour because of your own personal views on something, whether it's rugby views or otherwise, not many people can do that, I don't think. It's hard.
But that's where we're in a good place now.
Yeah.
And you look at us going into this World Cup, we've never looked better. And all them things that happened with Finn and Gregor, like the strength and depth we've now got. We know who captain is. Jamie's an interesting one. I know you've spoken about this, Jamie Ritchie.
Mm-hmm.
And you as captain, me as vice-captain. Very different leaders. But how you speak to a referee.
Yeah.
Like that seems to be his Achilles heel, which could be problematic.
Yeah, I mean, I think he got pinged 3 times in the Six Nations for it. Marched back, as in for talking at the wrong time or in the wrong way. He'd be aware of it. I think he's a quality player. One of the best around, I think. Was with Yannick Nyanga, who obviously tore it up for France for a number of years, played for Toulouse, for Racing, and he was saying the same thing. He said, this guy's unbelievable.
Really?
Yeah, he said, I can't believe how... You see it differently when you watch the game at the game, don't you? Slightly differently if you're close to the action. He said, this guy's, you know, is class. And he is. Yeah, I think his way with referees isn't there. And you, like Warby would be a different example of, and he's very quiet, and you never really saw him speaking to referees. Richie McCaw would be the same. Never really saw him in a referee's face, and it's never going to work doing it that way. So I'm sure he's aware. I'm sure Gregor speaks to him. Jamie takes it very seriously. He doesn't just, I'm captain. Some people, I think, historically potentially have done that. He wants to be that captain, and I think he'll learn from those kind of mistakes.
Yeah, well, that's where Luke Pearce was pissed off, because after the game in the Six Nations, it was Luke who marched him back.
Mm.
And I was chatting to Luke and chatting to Jamie, and then Jamie came over to Luke and like had a chat, and Luke apologised for marching him back and said I shouldn't have done that, or whatever.
Yeah, one was harsh.
And then I spoke about it on the podcast, and then Luke was pissed off at me because I mentioned it on the podcast. I'm like, fucking hell. He's like, well, what goes on tour? I said, who's on tour? I ain't on tour. I said, we're still at the bar. We're talking. But that's I'm going to open Luke up a little bit more here, but in a good way. So, well, the player's now retired. So I asked him, like, had him in the studio. I said, like, who's the best captain? Like, for you, but then amongst all the referees that they always speak about. Who do you think it is?
He said he's retired.
Yeah. The very best captain in interacting with the referees and not manipulating them, but like just had a great way about him.
Paul O'Connell?
I thought Paul O'Connell.
Oh,
no.
Look at us.
No.
Southern Hemisphere?
No.
Give us a clue.
I said, no, just no. Retired. Just retired. Boyo.
Alan Wynn.
Alan Wynn. Yes, that's what I
said. Really?
That's what I said. Both times.
Really?
Alan Wynn. Really? Really? That's what I said. He said, Alan Wynn, amazing. Absolutely amazing as a captain.
Like, do you think it makes that much of a difference?
Yes.
Do you really?
I do. Yeah, I really do.
But then I just...
If you've got someone that's in your ear, like a Faz, and he's shouting, fucking hell, mate, fucking hell. You're going to be like, who's the... like? You, of course you're going to be. Or even like Biggs as well. That bigger.
Sexton as well.
Sexton shouting at them. I reckon it makes a difference. If you're a man, forget the referee that doesn't like being spoken to in a derogatory way. There's going to be something like as in the 50-50s, which matter. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like Jamie Ritchie comes swimming through that mall and he's not offside.
Yeah,
like you call it in the game and then the referee gives it. You know, if that's a player that you've got a really good relationship and you see the captain and you've got that respect, I don't know. Like I'm just looking at it from a human perspective. Like, do you give that? That's why McCaw got away with so much. How much did he get away with?
Unbelievable. He must be a bit rugged nausea, but one of the hardest guys to ever play the game.
Ridiculous.
Because the way the game was played then, it was like, kill him. Kill him. Every game.
Yeah.
150 gaps or something. Unbelievable. Yeah, unbelievable.
It was your first start, wasn't it? You know, the after dinner story. You've not stole my story, have you?
No, I've probably changed it a couple of times.
The one where we talk about the hacker.
Yeah.
And people say to me, I'm going to tell it now. People say, oh, like, what's it like playing against New Zealand facing the hacker? And I'm like, yeah, well, it's unbelievable. And to speed through the story, like, what year was it?
2007.
We were shy. Anyway, whatever year it was, we were shy. No, that was the World Cup. It was after
2007?
That. No, I didn't play in that one. I played in the white jersey ones. Was that the World
Cup?
You
did play in 2007?
No, not World Cup. I played in the autumn series, so it might have been 2008.
The year after?
The year after. Both times got
hammered. I'm yellow afterwards.
And you're yellow. But we're stood facing the hacker. And I've convinced, because I was vice-captain, I've convinced everyone that we're beating New Zealand. And to set the scene, New Zealand were about 13 games unbeaten. We hadn't won a game in 5 or 6. We hadn't scored a try.
Merrifield.
We hadn't scored a try in a season and a half. We hadn't scored a try in a season and a half. It's about 20 games we hadn't scored a try.
Make it 50.
We hadn't scored a try in five Ever. Years. And we're facing New Zealand, the best team. Carter, Mar Nonu, Richie McCaw, Kieran Reid, Ali Williams, Muli Aina, the fucking everyone.
Everyone.
And Robbo's trying to say to me, mate, like, I don't think you believe that we can beat New Zealand, Jim. And I'm like, I don't think we can, Robbo, no. And he's like looking at me, and I'm just like being honest with you. With our game plan, we're not going to beat them anyway. And we speed through, and we're facing the hacker. How cool's the hacker? And I'm there like, fucking come on! Ali Williams has got this big long tongue, and I'm like, you motherfucker, fucking come on!
I've heard this story so many times, and I still enjoy it.
And I'm holding John Barkley. I'm holding him tight. I mean, you're next to me because, like, leadership, power, strength.
You needed it.
And I'm looking at John, and he's yellow. And you're obviously looking at Richie McCaw, and John looks at me and says, Jim, we're fucked! And he was right.
And we were. We didn't score a try.
No, did Visser score? I think Visser scored. Yeah. Oh, fucking Visser.
Yeah.
I think we scored first. We got it was close. It was like 47-9 or something like that, which means we didn't score a try, does it? And that was it. That was our legacy.
That was it, mate.
Yeah, but they set the bar, the All Blacks. And that's why in this World Cup, you can't write them off.
No.
World Cups, man. South Africa, New Zealand. Yeah. They're the two with history. Both won it 3 times.
Yeah.
England made finals, 03, won it.
France had made finals, not 07. Won it.
Yeah.
3 finals, not won it.
Is it?
And they lost in 2011.
11, when they should have won it.
Should have won.
Barnsley. Was it Barnsley?
Barnsley, yeah. I don't know. I blame him. I don't know.
I sent him a video because talking of 2011, when we played Argentina and Contepomi's about 10 miles offside.
I remember that. And Parksy went for a left foot drop kick.
That's right.
Because he didn't want to take the tackle.
And it was 78 minutes on the clock. So he's pushed him onto
He's about 12 yards offside.
I sent the video to Barnsley and he's...
Have you got it?
I've got it. And he's fucking... He's got lines and stuff coming back. He's got... Like,
he's drawn lines across the pitch.
Have you got your phone?
Yeah.
I'll send you it.
So look at this.
Play it on the audio as well so the millions can hear it.
Right, Barnsley, I'm taking you back to 2011, way back. Look at Philippe Contepomi there. He's about 5 metres offside already, and then he's 10 metres offside, and we win the game. Barnsley, please tell me you got that wrong and go on record. Scotland would have won the World Cup. I can't believe it. Barnsley can't believe it. Robbo's. Well, he was shocking anyway, but he can't believe it. Robbed. Just from behind, let's have a look. Look at him. Look.
Left foot.
78 minutes.
Left foot drop.
Against Argentina in Wellington. And
he would have kicked off his right.
Exactly. What did Barnsley say when I sent it in? I was at a shoot and there was some kitchen roll. He's like, why have you got kitchen roll when you're watching videos of me? I said, well, it's videos of all of us, not just me, which would be a bit weird. More worryingly, why are you watching footage of me with kitchen roll and at hand? I said, fuck the kitchen roll. I said, mate, we were robbed. And he's drawn loads of lines on the screen. After further analysis, again, it shows that you still know nothing about the game, Jim.
He's backing himself.
He's backing himself. Yeah. Who'd be a ref?
Not me.
Hey?
Not me.
How are things, John? Well, we're neighbours, but I never see you. So this is the first time.
That's a good sign.
Why?
Because it means we're busy.
Yeah.
If you're quiet, it's bad.
But we're in London. We're connecting. Thankfully, we're flying back tonight. We were going to stay.
Yeah.
But we thought it'd probably be best if we went home.
For the girls.
Yeah.
get back, another day at home. Things are good, mate.
You look good.
Thank you.
Yeah, someone said to me, oh, doesn't Barkley look like Bradley Cooper?
Oh, God, I hate that.
Fucking... Mate, what a compliment.
What a compliment.
I got told I look like a skinny David Walliams. How fucking shit's that?
You looking all right?
Yeah, I'm right. Is it all trim? Compliments?
Yeah, it would
too
be nice.
Trim. Too trim. Fit as a fiddle at the minute.
Got to bulk up.
I need to bulk up.
Go do weights.
Bradley Cooper lookalike. Mate, it's going well. Transition.
Mm.
How funny is that word?
Transition, yeah.
Tough though, eh?
Very tough. Stress-wise, I don't think you have real stress as a rugby player. And people can disagree if they want. That's my opinion. Or I didn't, certainly. Yeah, you get injured and I didn't sleep properly for months because I was like, what the hell am I going to do? What am I going to do? We're in the middle of a pandemic. Who's going to employ a 33, 34-year-old rugby player to do a real job?
And what did your vice captain say?
You'll be fine, which is the advice I give Ryan Wilson. Because you will be fine.
Yeah.
You know, ultimately, you will. Everyone ends up fine. But fuck, it's hard. I think it's hard because you got the stress, and most people are tired. They've got kids and family and bills and things to pay. The financial stress is one thing. I didn't find it stressful leaving the game. When I left, and we talk about it if you want, about how things ended for me, I was totally fed up with how things ended. I knew I wasn't going to play at Edinburgh within a few months of being at the club. I knew it wasn't going to work out. But yeah, I think it works out. There's no easy way around it. When you stop, and I've got mates who retire all the time now, and they're like, what, like Wilson, what do I do?
It's harder now.
Do you think so?
Yeah, I do. Well, I think it's harder.
In what way?
I just think the opportunities are less across everything, whether or not you're half decent in media because of the way the landscape of the media. Probably don't need to go into too much detail around that, but that's the facts of it.
Yeah.
The amount of money you get for these different gigs has gone down.
Yeah.
More people are retiring, so there's more people in market. We've retired, so then like
the space. I think timing is quite important. You were probably a good time to retire with podcasting where it was, and people in the media probably, and I was probably the same. I ruptured my Achilles and that let me spend a year with the BBC, which I never would have got. And who knows whether I would get that opportunity after I retired, but I got time to do a bit of media. But then I've been doing it for 5 years in the media now, but I still don't consider myself working in the media because I think you look at the way people coming out the game, Hoggy's just retired, the landscape of it, how many opportunities, or how long do you keep getting these opportunities is my point. Unless you're a presenter or unless you're a superstar of the game. And I'm neither of those, so.
But you're very good.
As a presenter? Or?
Yeah, no, I'm not.
Not as a presenter, sorry, as a punter.
Yeah, I'd say so. Yeah, I'd say, yeah, I think you're fine now. You've got a Scottish accent. That's what you got over me. Scottish accent and better looks. Yeah, I do. And that's the hard thing, isn't it? Because in the media, you have no control over your life.
No.
Like, I know, like playing sport, you kind of do to a degree. Like, there's a job somewhere if your body's still there or thereabouts, and if you really desperately wanted. Like, I had a contract with London Irish I could have turned up. I don't know whether I would have done much.
Imagine the state they'd be in now if they paid you those wages.
Yeah, exactly. They would have gone that year. A fucking great contract as well.
I bet it was.
Mate, it was a big deal. 2 years, testimonial, all the bells and whistles. But yeah, I think it's harder coming out now. Yeah, but you're in a good industry. Like the whiskey from the outside.
Yeah, that was for good fortune, I think.
It's not good fortune.
Well, there's a bit about you got to do the work when you're playing to actually make connections. But then also you said to me as well, you can have all the chats in the world you want until someone starts paying you, it doesn't matter. And actually you have all this conversation. You're like, yeah, I'm great. I've got all these options. And then you start whittling down the conversations and you're like, actually, none of these are paying me. So I ended up in the whiskey industry and probably at a time during the pandemic when everyone's batting down the hatches, no one knows what's happened to the world. Bizarrely, high-end whiskey, wine, watches, all these high-end goods went through the roof. So I end up in an industry which is quite solid at the time. So, and it gave me a bit of time to find my feet doing it, and then managed to do media alongside it, which was great as well. So, but yeah, it's not an easy thing to do to move away from the game.
No,
I'm so glad I didn't coach.
Toughest job in sport.
I don't think it looks enjoyable.
No.
Some people would disagree. Again, some people say it's more, Ron Nogara said, I think, it's more rewarding winning as a coach because you're overseeing the whole operation rather than just being a cog in the team. But
you could, I could see that.
Yeah. I think team manager would be a nice role.
We always said that.
We always say, yeah.
Just organising nights out. That's when I think team manager, that's what I think.
Get a charter flight.
Sort the flights
home
out.
The next day.
Yeah. I delegate. I'm a massive delegator. Mm-hmm. But then reap the rewards of putting the vodka and the cigars on the table.
All the players would love you.
Yeah. Like Cookie, like the kit man.
Bealsy now.
It is. No, it isn't easy. And I think with the retirement thing, and like what I said to you was, it's all well and good, like you said, having these meetings. What I think I used to say something like, everyone wants to smell your jockstrap.
Yeah, probably.
They won't put it on. But you, I think now it's gone are the days where you're...
I've not heard that before. It's
like,
It's true.
It's a good one. Who wears jockstraps these days? Is anyone? I couldn't fill a jockstrap.
Oh, I played a guy at Glasgow my first year, wore a jockstrap. What was his name? Aussie guy. Had a wet nurse growing up.
He had a what?
A wet nurse.
What's that?
You employ a nurse to nurse your children for you, to breastfeed them.
He had a wet nurse to feed his kids.
No. He was fed from a wet nurse.
Oh, he was fed from a wet nurse. What's that got to do? How do you know? What's it got to do with anything?
I don't know how we got there. How do we get there?
Jockstraps.
He wore jockstraps.
Oh, did he?
So there you go.
You need a decent piece to fill a jockstrap.
You got a good pipe.
Yeah.
Doing Vandermeer would look good in one.
He bloody would. He looks like an action man.
How big is he at the moment?
Ridiculous. Massive pipe as well.
Big old schlongadong.
Animal.
Big.
Like, I feel inferior. Like, I think if I was sat next to him, I would feel inferior.
With Beck?
Yeah. I wouldn't let her sit near.
No, best not.
But jockstraps, Sean Lamont.
How did we get to jockstraps?
The analogy that I used.
Oh, yeah, about transition.
What about Sean? Did you see what he did? Sean Lamont. We did that.
Calendar?
No, not the calendar. The charity thing for his wife's work or something, naked. For Gemma's work.
And well, you would, wouldn't you? I would be doing that every weekend.
So what do they call it? Right, let's set the scene for people. So Sean Lamont, who played on the wing for Scotland.
Yeah, 100 caps.
Yeah, he was, yeah. It wasn't even the piece, it was his nuts.
Yeah.
Like
a space hopper.
It was like a hot water bowl. That's what I was to say. It was a hot water bowl that he would pull up. So I made him do the magic trick, win, lose, or draw, pull it up over his belly button, yeah, and everything would sit within that. It was like a hot water bowl covering your piece. In a pair of pants, you've never seen anything so big.
Majestic.
And he'd fill a jockstrap, but...
would Rory.
So would his brother Rory. I've seen that full anger as well. Goodness me. Where are we going with this? Oh.
Transition, apparently.
Transition. But Sean, during transition, did one of these like things where he's up on stage and all these women are drawing him.
What's it called? Thingy drawing. I don't even know what it's called.
Sorry. What is naked drawing? Neon naked law drive. Did Reddit. No. Human figures integral to art classes. I'm going to call it naked drawing. Life drawing.
Life drawing?
Yeah, UV life drawing. Yeah.
Not UV.
It says UV life drawing.
It's just life drawing.
Life drawing.
Life drawing.
Well, that's what he was doing. Like, it was life drawing.
Yeah.
And he's walked up. This is all his missus, his workmates. For charity, he's walked up there and he's stood like a Greek god. Everything dangling down. A couple of snooker balls. But yeah, so people smelling your jockstrap effectively. But what you need to have like a skill set. Like, I think it's gone with the days of like you're a Will Carlin or a Delalio or, I don't know, a big name. I was trying to think of
Gavin Hastings.
Gavin Hastings, for example, it'd be like, yeah,
you're our guy for the next 15 years.
You were a legend.
Yeah, you're in.
They're gone. And that's
unless you're, I don't know who now, Brian O'Driscoll.
Yeah, or a Warburton. Or,
yeah.
Yeah.
But then Warby even says he still works. He has to graft and work. And
what does he do?
He's got his academy.
Yeah.
Very good in the media.
He's on the board of Cardiff now.
Board of Cardiff. All that stuff. Yeah, I think as a Scottish player, you're not going to have that opportunity. Finn might, whether he wants it or not, it'd be a different question. Hoggy, potentially. But yeah, even still, I think you're right. The days of the corporate giants come in, big banks, you're our guy. You're going to host for us for the next 10 years.
Yeah. So you need to offer something tangible.
Yes.
You need a skill set. And that's what I say to anyone who asks me now. I said, like, you need, like, you need to hustle.
Do you think that the unions do enough to help with that stuff? Because I don't think they do at all in my experience.
I don't, right, as in so on the unions helping.
Yeah, or the clubs helping. Or it's hard to help. You've got to help yourself.
Yeah. We might think differently on this. I think you have to help yourself in that space. I think, and I had this conversation with a player at Gloucester. I was going to name drop him, where he played at Gloucester all his career, made probably £1.5 million, got to the end of his career, and said to the club, what are you going to do for me now?
I know who it is.
Yeah. And they were like, well, what do you mean? He's like, well, I want a job.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, it ain't for us to give you a job. We paid you £1.5 million, mate.
Yeah.
So.
My point is not to give you jobs or give you opportunities, but I think there's still more to be done. And like when you come out the game and actually like, what is my skill set?
Mm.
How, like if guys that 14 years or a Wilson or something like that, like what's, because the top guy, Hoggy is fine. He's going to be fine. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but the guys who play 10 years and earn an average living, yes, a good living in the real world, but they've stopped uni, they've done all that, then what?
Exactly. That's terrors.
Yeah.
Sarri's were unbelievable.
Well, yeah, you say
unbelievable
that.
Unbelievable at that. So in a way, yes, they do have responsibilities mm-hmm. to do that. And I think the clubs and unions have a responsibility with that. But even further, and you know, because we talk about the state of our bodies, whether it be headaches, migraines, whether or not it be ankle, wrist, shoulder, back, yeah, just name dropping everything, where trying to get medical care after.
Yeah,
you've got to think, how old are you now?
36.
Mate, 36, I'm 40 and I'm fucked.
Yeah.
And I've got private healthcare and I struggle to get in and get seen for mm-hmm. stuff. So having given your body to the game, not only... You know, I know you were talking about something different, but I think there needs to be a pot where me, you, and
which you can pay into. Everyone pays into.
Everyone pays into.
Yeah, I agree.
Come off top end, and then it's topped up. Like, fuck these pensions and all this bollocks. Put a pot of money in there. Okay, and there are people at World Rugby talking about this, and I'm working through it with them, where you can dip in and be like, you know, I need £5,000 out of that because I need money sorting now. I can't.
But then
walk.
To your point earlier, though, that club saying we paid you £1.5 million.
Mm. But this is
pay for surgery.
Yeah, but I think that this is an initiative.
I'm just giving you the other side. I agree. Yeah, yeah. I think we should.
Yeah.
Because I think there's a lot of conversations that happen. We'll get that fixed when you next year. We'll get that fixed when you stop. We'll be fine. I had those conversations. How many of those have been fixed?
Yeah, but that's what I mean. I think the difference is you're giving your body to the game. So not necessarily like the club or whatever this. So there needs to be like a wider pot.
Right, okay.
As opposed to someone like you coming out of rugby. Like you can't give someone motivation to go and sit in an office and be an accountant,
mm-hmm.
can you? Like most lads have been like, well, fuck, I ain't doing that. Well, it's like, right, you don't want to do that. Well, do you want to get down the building site and do a trade? No, I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
Do you want to be a teacher? Yeah, but I don't want to go to uni. Can you give me a degree? Do you like, there'd be so many people like
yeah.
that don't want to do like that hustle. And it is hard because like, this is the thing. I don't know what other sports are like, but in our sport, you need to be all in, but you're not all in, aren't you? Like 95% of us weren't all in at the end because you're thinking about what's next.
Yeah.
So you couldn't do your recovery. I'm traveling. I'm in a car. My back's in pieces. I'm all over the place.
Yeah.
So you're literally limping out of the game.
Well, I had 18 months of that where I knew I was going to retire. Not 18 months. No, yeah, about 18 months, sorry.
Mm.
I knew I had time to get out of the game and my body's really struggling. And I didn't actually, it was just, it's more training, isn't it? Training was the hard thing. I couldn't get going in training. I'm like, I had a 45-minute warm-up before the warm-up. People are like, oh, so what? Get on with it. I don't want to do that every day. It's not fun. But you realize, yeah, your body just falls apart.
That was the thing. And then it wasn't just training. Like, it was contact.
I didn't do any.
I know. But how pissed off were the coaches when you didn't do it?
Okay, that's where Scarlett was amazing.
Mm.
I know you had Wayne in here.
How good was Wayne Pivot?
I think he got stitched up, but... That's a different talking point. But yeah, he used to say if he had over 100 involvement, it was over 100 involvements on the, you get your game tag. So an involvement could be a pass, a, you know, whatever, kick, tackle. For back row, it's going to be predominantly contacts. If you had 100 in the game or whatever the number was, you don't have to do contact all week. So lads are literally chasing rocks. Just to, and then at the end, he just said, just never, don't do it. His mindset was just play the weekend. If you're good at the weekend, I trust you. The other side of that, when you went to Edinburgh, it was like, we're doing contact every day.
Was that under Cocker's?
We're doing pick and goes every day. Mauls every day. Scrums.
Mate, you were soft, that was what? Edinburgh was soft.
Soft, mate. And I was like, Cocker's, I can't do that. He was actually all right with me about that stuff. I said, I can't do that. Mm. Like, I just, if you want me to play, I can't do all that contact in the week. Otherwise, I'll be hanging by Saturday.
But that's what, like, that style of coaching now, and obviously Cocker's got sacked from Edinburgh, thanks to John Barclay. And you look at that old school type of coaching, it's gone.
There'll be elements, so there'll be still some out there.
Who else was old school? Dimes?
I was going to say Dimes, but then doesn't coach that much.
No. Dean Richards, but he didn't coach that much. Like yeah. The old guy, they're all young coaches now, aren't they? Really?
Yeah.
Just come out of the game. Premiership is.
Yeah.
Die Young, just been sacked.
Yeah.
Don't know what happened.
Don't know either.
Calling someone soft, probably right.
Probably, can't say that anymore.
Is your work like that? You kind of can't say stuff.
Can't say anything, mate.
Yeah.
I work from home, so it's fine.
That's the hard thing, isn't it? Like, in life now, what you can and can't say. Like, with the, like we've got, you've got three kids, I've got four. We're both in corporate entities.
You've got to be careful.
You have to be careful what you can and can't say.
Easier for me. You've got, well, I suppose you can edit this, can't you?
Why, what do you want to say?
I don't want to say anything. I'm happy.
Yeah?
I don't want to get sacked.
But whiskey's good. You travel loads.
Travel quite a bit, yeah. So that's the hard thing.
You're not net zero, are you, John?
I'm definitely not net zero. Got a big garden, which probably gives back.
So humble. I love that. I am not net zero. I've got a big garden, so
that's net zero. That cancels out, doesn't it?
There's a lot of trees in there. You have chopped a few trees down.
I got permission.
Mm-hmm.
Just, everything's different when you stop, isn't it? The adjustment of rugby to whatever you're doing is hard. But like I said, I don't miss the game. I do look back with a bit of envy. 2000, whenever the Lions tour was, I look back and think, God, that would have been... I was jealous. I look back and think, God, that would have been awesome to do or get picked. But yeah, it's just, you just work, don't you? And then you kind of realize you're in this for how much longer until you can retire? When are you going to retire?
From this?
Yeah, just from life. Sit back.
Well, I was in Colorado and I was under the sun with music and love. And I thought, I could retire now.
It'd be so nice.
Like, genuinely. I'm in a weird world, a weird industry. And a weird, like, I live in Edinburgh, as you know, around the corner from you, apparently. But I'm travelling all the time, so I'm on my own. There's a loneliness.
Lone wolf.
Lone wolf.
That's me, mate, when I travel.
Lonely, eh?
It is lonely, yeah.
So I'm doing that, doing the podcast, we're in and out. The World Rugby stuff's good because there's more interaction. But the media stuff, I think, is a little bit soulless. Do you know what I mean? Because you're fighting for something that... You can't necessarily...
That's what you said. It's good to have something else, isn't it? You've got to have... Unless you're a Brian O'Driscoll or a Gabby Logan, you know, one of these... You have to do something else because it's... You see it. You see people scrapping for the same bit of bread. And you get ended up with crumbs.
Mm.
You don't want to be bitter. You don't want to be bitter doing media.
Well, that's the hard thing, isn't it? And it is very sharky out there.
It is very sharky.
And I keep away from that drama. And I suppose having the podcast... has allowed me to do that. I don't know what I would be.
What would you have done if you didn't do the podcast, do you think?
I had a job at Sarri's. Of course I did.
Of course you did.
Had a job at Sarri's. There was a leadership opportunity. Of course there was. With a guy called Hugh Vivian, who was at Saracens with. He'd set up a business. I got offered the Edinburgh coaching role with Cockers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Decent money.
But you didn't want to coach.
I didn't want to coach. I had the idea of wanting to be a school teacher. You know, like a rugby, like I feel bad saying easy gig because I know there's a few people listening to this who are in that role. Big shout out to Mr. Eason. Remember Andrew Eason?
Mm-hmm.
Big shout out to him. He is my
Phil Godman.
Son's director of rugby now. Big shout out to Andrew Eason.
Is it? Is he?
Saw him. JJ went to his school and saw Eason. He's a legend. Sorry, Mr. Eason. Let's keep it professional. So Eason's doing that. Phil Godman is doing that up in Dundee. Hates me.
Jace White's
doing it.
Nick DeLuca.
Loads. I know loads of people. And that's what I wanted to do. I was going to say easier. Right, it's not an easy job, but as in, you know what you're doing, structured, helping shape lives.
Imagine you rocking up to the fetties.
Fucking tats on
everywhere.
Swearing.
Swear.
I don't know. I genuinely don't know then. I don't know what I would have done. But I know that within me now, I'd love to do something outside of rugby, whatever that is. Dabbled in a few bits. Set up a coffee company for 3 days.
Skincare.
Mate, that's going all right. Moreland Broad's going all right.
I used some the other day. Burnt like fuck.
That's what it's meant to do.
That's how it's working.
Yeah. It's like burning off the bad stuff on your face. So I'm keen to do something outside.
I'd like to
set up
something by myself. And it's just that romantic thing, isn't it? Coffee shop, pub.
Yeah.
We spoke about this.
But I've involved in some bars and coffee shops and stuff, and everyone's saying, don't do it.
Don't do it.
Don't do
it. No
money. There's no money. As in, you've got to make a lot of flat whites before you make $3,000 or $4,000, John.
That's it.
Like, that is
doesn't
clear.
Doesn't pay the school fees.
It doesn't pay the school fees. No, John. But you live a faster life than me.
Do you think so?
You like all the nice things. Like,
what are you on about? Mate, hold on a second. Every time I go past your house, there's a new car.
Yeah, but that's the... Like, I swap it. It's not mine.
They're not free.
Lease. They're not free. No, I pay for them. But yours is free.
Mine's not free.
I thought it was free.
I pay for two cars.
John?
I pay for two cars.
Okay.
You got to reward yourself. You work hard.
You have.
I work 9 to 5, Monday to Friday, commentate weekends.
You like the nice things.
Who doesn't?
I'm not that materialistic. Got a Garmin on, cheap t-shirt.
You got Panerai. I shouldn't say what you got at home.
Okay.
In case
it's a Panerai, but it's a freebie. It's a gift.
Did you declare it on your tax return?
Probably.
Kind.
Probably.
Probably not.
My admin's so bad.
You know, everyone likes the nice things.
I do like nice things, yeah. I've got more into it now. Like you're into crafty things, aren't you? Like that knife company.
Yeah.
Yeah, there must be... You like
cooking.
Stuff. You do like
love
cooking.
Love cooking. Barbecue. Coffee. Whiskey.
Cars. Watches.
No, I'm not into cars. Just want a nice car.
So the hairdresser was so funny. So you know the guy, they're not Turkish, they're Kurdish. I said it was Turkish. You were about to say Turkish. He said, he said, are you mates with John? I says, what? He said, yeah. I said, kind of. Lives around the corner. He says, he comes in and he not want to pay. That's what he says. I says, what do you mean? He says he not want to pay ever. And I said, what do you mean? He said,
they're smart, cash only.
Cash only. But he has put his prices up. I mean,
expensive.
It's gone from 15 quid a haircut.
You can afford it.
To 22 quid. If you get the beard done as well, it's like 45 quid for the haircut and beard.
Mate. And take JJ, he's got to cut his own hair now.
I just shave it. Yeah. Like he's got mange. but like they said, you don't like paying. You're not paying for it. That's what he said. I swear on my life, that's what he said.
How can you not like you pay when you go to the barbers?
Well, I think you're just making a point. You're like, mate, you're putting your prices up.
No. The problem, I've got to go. Who carries cash now?
Not me.
You've got to go across Tesco.
You have.
Get cash back.
Pay £1.25. Oh, I see, this is the difference.
I'll
get it from the cash point where you pay £1.25. You'll be buying like a 10p Freddo. To try and then get cash.
Lottery
back.
Ticket.
Yeah, lotteries are smart.
There we go.
Yeah.
Investment.
Edinburgh's weird at the minute as well.
What do you mean?
I feel like it's lost its soul.
As a city or a club?
As a city.
Do you?
Yeah, I do. It's picked up now with the fringe.
I love Edinburgh.
I love Edinburgh as well, John. Best city in the world, but I feel like it's in a weird spot.
Fringe is busy.
Homeless people everywhere. Not that that.
Is there?
Yeah, everywhere.
Where?
Everywhere. On the streets.
Not where
outside
you live.
The Tesco.
Not where we live.
Not where we live, no. They're coming.
You don't let them in there.
They're coming.
Probably.
Yeah, I just feel like it's lost its soul. Everyone's talking about Glasgow, coming down to London, the hustle, the bustle, and just the way the world is, like to let boards up everywhere. Fucking housing markets crashed.
I love it.
Yeah.
Disagree.
Never there, John.
Me?
Mate, I love Edinburgh. I love Edinburgh
more
than you.
No, you said you hated it, mate.
I didn't say hate it. I said it's lost its soul.
Well, that means you hate it.
Maybe not there.
Best city in the world, mate.
Yeah.
I think so.
The weather has broken me as well. Yeah. I didn't normally care about weather, but...
Yeah, good rugby club, not... Yeah.
But all right.
Fine.
Yeah.
I hated Edinburgh.
Why?
How long have we got? No, that's not fair, actually. I didn't hate it. Loved the boys. You always have a good time with the lads, don't you?
Yeah.
Didn't get on with Cockers, did I? Well, I did actually get on with Cockers, so that's not fair either.
No, you just opened them up in the media after.
Well, I got tucked up.
What? Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I've spoken about what actually happened.
No, let's go. This is your forum.
Okay. I'll give you a bit of background.
Okay.
Scotland captain, playing in Scarlets, ruptured my Achilles, having already signed for Edinburgh. At the end, last game of the season, came to Edinburgh, having turned down a better contract at Scarlets, a job after playing at Scarlets, a team that were top league. And it was a lot of personal stuff for me. Come back, close to family, set myself out after rugby. There's injury clauses, as you know, and it's normally 9 months if you're injured, the club has the right to terminate your contract. So I've never heard of it ever being done. It's never happened in a club I've been at. It's never happened in Scotland, despite guys blowing out ACLs, whatever. I got called in to say, here, we're going to cut your contract in half. When I got to 6 months, we're going to cut your contract in half. And I said, well, no, because I couldn't pay for my mortgage if I did. So I said, no. And so I got a letter saying, well, your contract's been terminated. I'm like, what? What do you mean my contract? I'm 6 months into a contract. I've just moved my whole family, been sold this thing. I've come back to Edinburgh. I know I ruptured my Achilles. That's out with my control. So I knew within 6 months of I was trying to get shafted. So I stood my ground. I said, I'm not going to take half pay because I'd rather just retire. I've got a ruptured Achilles. Who's going to sign me? So at that point, well, you'll terminate your contract. I'm like, okay, but again, who's going to sign me? 32 or something, ruptured Achilles. So I was going to retire. And then I had to try and, you know, manage to piece it back together around with, you know, Gregor was helpful with that. Colin Grassi, who was the president at the time, came and saw me in hospital as well when I had my surgery and said, look, just so you know, this is all going to be fine. Don't worry about it. And then you fast forward 6 months and I've been essentially been sacked or pushed. And I was like, what the fuck is going on here? And that's probably the only time I've been stressed. And then I knew I'm 6 months in to what I thought was a longer term project, if you want to call it that. And I'm not meant to be here. What are you meant to do?
Yeah.
And I thought, and maybe a little bit of naivety, I was like, I'm Scotland captain. If you're going to
fucking John Barclay.
I was like, if you're going to do this to me, like the guys have got no chance.
True.
I said, so what? I said, I've played for this country for years, played with injuries, X, Y, Z. And the point that I had is you've never done this to other players. There was other guys in the long-term injured group who had been injured for longer than me. And yet I was the guy again. Scott Johnson, I never got on. And that was his last week in the SIU. And I remember thinking, what the hell is going on here? I've gone from this to this in 6 months, and now I'm deemed surplus to requirements. And the other part of it as well, which is for anyone who's listening, you pay agent fees your whole career. I don't know what, 10% or 8%, whatever it was. So you could pay hundreds of thousands of pounds, and you never really need them. I didn't. Mine was all, I spent 9 years at Glasgow, and every time they keep taking that commission. Scarlett's 5 years, same. And then I did my own deal coming back to Edinburgh. And when I needed an agent, no one came down to help. I said, you've got to come. I've got a meeting with the CEO tomorrow. We've got to figure this out. Can't be there. You're like, well, actually, that kind of shows the whole thing.
Mm.
So yeah, Edinburgh didn't work out. And but it was probably, I think in the long run, good to have that clarity. Because I hope people listening don't think I'm not bitter. I got everything I could from the game. I don't think I could have got much more from it. It didn't end the best way, but it gave me a little bit of clarity on rugby family. Because you're like, pandemic came, and then I don't know how many times you've heard from your former clubs. Zero.
Nothing.
Zero.
Sarries.
Sarries are probably the shining example of how they look after players. Chatted Duncan Taylor, and he's doing some role for Sarries now.
So funny.
Good guy.
Have you heard about him?
We've seen the women's.
He's doing some women's pathway stuff, and apparently first day in the office, he walked out.
he told me he did a week. He said he couldn't do it. So, mate, do you know what I mean? I just think that whole rugby family, that narrative is charming when you're in it, but...
Doesn't exist.
It doesn't exist. No. It's a business, and you've got to... And I wish they would just say it.
Mm.
I remember, and this is quite cheesy, and you can take from what you want. I sat in the boardroom at Murrayfield trying to figure out this mess, and on the front, it was the values of the union. On the front of Murrayfield, and it was like honesty, family, you know, blah, 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 and it's like as one. I'm like, that isn't applicable when you get treated like that. And I thought and I played for them for 16 years. I played for them, and I thought that if that's how you get treated, it did leave a bit of a sour taste.
So you went tabloid on them.
Well, I don't know if I ever spoke about that.
No, I don't know. I can't remember what it was in there. I know you.
I spoke about Cocker's, and Cocker's approach. It wasn't a fun place to be.
Yeah,
and then eventually the players got rid of them.
And this is what I mean. This is where, you know, you've got to be careful, haven't you? Because ultimately, if your players who've got a voice like you have now and have got respect and profile in the game, at some point it's going to come back and bite them, isn't it?
But you can't. Yeah, people are like, well, why didn't you say it when you're at Edinburgh? I'm like, well, I still wanted to play rugby, and you just start getting further removed from. Came back, so I managed to get to the World Cup. Came back from the World Cup. I was the most senior player in the squad, most experienced, however you want to say it. Oh, there's a leaders meeting. Can these people attend? I'm like, oh, not in that. Defense meeting? No, not in that. Attack? No.
Yeah, yeah.
So lineup?
Yeah. No.
I'm like, I am literally a spare part here.
Mm, driftwood.
Just driftwood. And that it was like that. And then the pandemic happened. I was like, well, that's that then.
That is a shame when you break. And I knew that, but obviously a lot's happened since.
Yeah.
How you then? There isn't glory in retirement. You know, John Barclay,
Carried out on a shield.
Carried out on a shield. Dragged out. No one's
last
carrying
game,
you.
Cardiff. Cardiff at home in front of about 55 people, 20 minutes off the bench. And I remember actually in that game, because we had a week off the next week, and I remember running around thinking, I don't want to get hurt here because I got a week off.
Mm.
And that was probably a good sign that it was the end.
Yeah. But that's the thing. It's not all glory. And it's probably not a bad thing. I think the fact that you finished like that and the bitterness, arguably you could say, is better than lifting the Calcutta Cup.
Yeah.
And like that being your final thought, and you'd be like, fuck.
Yeah, I don't think I was bitter. I just think it gave me a bit of realism about what it is.
Yeah.
Because there is a romance today. Like you are literally playing the sport and you're pissing around with your mates and you're getting paid well, you're getting to travel, you get to play in big stadiums, you know, if you're lucky enough to do that. But there's a reality to it. And you see the guys that come out of the game and they're just, that whole rugby family thing is nonsense. You hear stories about it all the time. Mm. Guys getting shafted at clubs, getting, you know, contracts getting whipped from under their feet, all this sort of stuff. It happens all over the place.
Yeah.
I think it's good to know those stories.
Definitely.
Because it takes away a bit, it gives people a bit more of a bit more perspective in the decision making. And I think it's particularly to that loyalty to clubs. Like, oh, I better stay at this club. I remember chatting to a Scotland player, I won't name him, and he'd been offered a really good contract to go and play a top side, play Exeter when Exeter were about to be European champions. He said, nah, better not. I think I'm going to stay because the union will look after me. It's the World Cup. And then didn't get picked. And then they absolutely offered him peanuts. Mm-hmm. So you're like, you want to be loyal to clubs, and I'm jealous of the guys that played at a club like it. And Scarlett's was that for me.
Yeah,
the best club environment I ever played in, and probably goes hand in hand. It was the best players, but you see those clubs which really managed to consistently hold it together and have that place where people want to go and play for them. That's pretty rare, I think.
Oh, it absolutely is. Mm-hmm. And it's a dog eat dog world out there. This rugby family is. I agree with you wholeheartedly.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't got any real bad experience. Like the SIU is an interesting one because I've got a really good relationship with them now. But you think about what happened with me and Vern.
Yeah.
And then me talking about Vern on the podcast and killing the rabbits up in the Pyrenees in the mountains, like joking about it on the podcast, but it was all true. And then it was on the front page news of all the papers. I'm still playing at Sarries. Then the SIU are ringing me. The lawyers are ringing me. Vern's ringing me saying, what the fuck? You're fucking lying. I said, what do you mean I'm lying? He said, you said that Stuart Hogg was wearing sandals. I'm like, Vern, I don't think that's the fucking issue, mate. I don't think that detail is the one. And then there was a big fallout with the SIU. And then now it's come good again.
Well, it swings and roundabouts, isn't it?
It does.
You're not really telling lies either.
No.
Nothing I've said. And it's like, you're going to have to not... I've not talked about it because I don't want it to be a distraction. But it's also, for me, it's just a bit of, this is what happens.
Mm.
I was one of the I was one of the lucky ones to play international rugby and get well remunerated for it, you know, well looked after. So there was an exit anyway, but it's more, it doesn't always go that way.
No, it doesn't, no. And you're on the board in the change room. That's a bugbear of mine.
Yeah. I was very surprised about that.
Why?
Well, because of how things had happened. Not that I'd left under any bad feeling, but it was more of the impression I got there was Scott Johnson and I didn't never go on off the back of not going on tour in 2013 or 14.
I love Scott Johnson.
Of course you did.
Fuck, it's weird, isn't it? I know we've had this chat, but he was a
cowboy.
Scott Johnson?
Oh my God.
Nah. I thought he was very good. I'm telling you now, I thought he was brilliant. I swear. I really enjoyed him. I don't know. I don't know why.
We didn't get on.
He got asked after my 50th cap, where I brought JJ out with me at Murrayfield, and I don't know if you remember, I was making line breaks for photos, but the best game
you lost your son that day.
Where is he? And I think I got man of the match, and Jono got asked that after the game. He was like, Jim Hamilton, unbelievable. And Jono said, well, look, he's not everyone's cup of tea, but I drink coffee. That's what he said.
But that sums him up. He's got a line for everything. He had a line for everything.
No, I enjoyed him.
If you hung around long enough, you heard the same crack.
But I enjoy people like that who are a bit quirky.
Whereas, he picked you.
Yeah, he did, and I hated Vern.
Well, there you go. And I liked Vern.
Yeah, there you go.
And Vern didn't pick me, though.
Yeah, I just... Yeah, that's my biggest regret, is not calling him out face-to-face.
Well, my biggest regret would be Scott Johnson not having more of a say with him, probably.
Mm.
There you go.
There we go.
There we go.
That is the way.
I didn't go on Scotland tour because I didn't want to. I needed a shoulder operation. I could have had it after tour, and I chose to have it. I was going to Scarlet as well, so there was a bit of complexity to it. And I'm adding a bit here, but was like, I don't want to go on Scotland tour if he's in charge. Mm-hmm. I will have surgery instead. It was that miserable. I hated it. Ask John Welsh.
Meatball.
Meatball
or chicken ball?
Chicken ball. That's Duncan. We were the meatball. Me and John Welsh used to drive back from training, the shags. We'd hold bags all day, all week, and just drive home through McDonald's. And we were like, this isn't what it's meant to be. Welsh crashed into a guy on the way home. Did I tell you the story?
No. He's not talking to me, Welsh.
He crashed into driving, like, we're trying to get home. Up the high. He's fucking. Everyone had Mercedes fast C63s. He's ragging it through Edinburgh. He ends up crashing into this guy. And I'm thinking, fuck, he's just crashed. Get out there, say sorry, exchange details. Completely in the wrong, Welsh. He gets out. What the fuck are you doing? And then three Polish guys. Mate, give it 5 minutes. We're trying to figure this thing out. Another two Polish guys come around the corner carrying chains. I'm trying to get back in the car. I'm like,
are they Polish or police?
Polish. It's not Polish. Thankfully, the police saw it on the other side of the road and came over. That was the highlight of probably a 2-year spell for me. It was fucking. That is the most miserable I've been playing rugby.
Yeah.
Well, Scott Johnson.
Well, she's a legend. Big shout out to him. He's not happy. Well, Jasper Visa was sat there and snapped his shoulder or something.
Talk about people doing jobs which you wouldn't put them in when you met them. You here, potentially. John Welsh, wine connoisseur. Do you know this?
No.
He owns a wine shop, high end wine shop in Newcastle now.
Yeah.
He's giving it that one, sniffing the grapes, everything. He is, mate.
What's that one?
You know.
Welshy. But back to the point with Scott Johnson, you're put on the board in that change room. That's something that grates me. Do you want to tell the listeners what the board is?
The board at Murrayfield, or not Murray, it's in the national changing room.
Mm.
And you've got the booths now, numbered obviously 1 to 23. And in each booth, probably not from 16 to 23, just 1 to 15, is the best players in each of those positions to have played in that position for Scotland.
Yes.
And I snuck on that list.
Yes.
And you didn't.
63 caps for Scotland, and I am not on that list.
Who's on the board?
Oh, man, there's legends on the board, but there's a few on there that have missed out that should be on the board. Like, for example, Ewan Murray's at number 3, and Alan Jacobson's not on number 1, most capped. Lou said, for Scotland ever.
Yeah.
And the reason, I found out the reason I sound bitter, I am bitter. I'm not saying that I should be on that board with 63 caps. Like Tommy Seymour's on the board. Tommy, I know you listen, and I know that I'm not saying that he shouldn't be on that board. The thing is, when I found out about this board of like players, when you walk into the changing rooms, I walked in there with Kelly. Me and Kelly went in there with the kids. I don't know what, there was something on, and I could see Kelly. He was fucking blinking like mad. He was like all over the shot. He was fucking, he was like looking at me. I was like, mate, fuck.
Is he on it?
He's not on it, no.
Not on it.
No, so I had 63 caps for Scotland. He had 64. You had
76.
And you were captain, so maybe that's why you're on there. But Al Kellett was captain.
Kelly was captain.
And wasn't on there. And Kelly was captain, right?
And you were vice-captain for him.
And I was vice-captain against Romania. And I'm trying to work out, like, it's like you're looking at the names, and naturally you're looking around being like, how's he on there and I'm not on there? Or how is he on there and Kelly's not on there?
Yeah.
And it turns out that the reason that Ewan Murray's on there, I'm not saying Ewan Murray didn't feel that Scotland jersey doesn't deserve to be on there, but he didn't want to play on a Sunday.
Yeah.
Because of his Royal Highness or Holiness. His Royal Holiness. So he didn't even want to play when there was a game on a Sunday. I'd play on 3 Sundays.
Yeah.
If they were back to back.
Yeah.
So he was on there. And I found out the reason. It's if you're a British and Irish line,
yeah.
But for me, that shouldn't be the reason that says that you should be on the board of people who filled that, players that have filled that jersey and deserve to be on that board, because
it's not about that team.
It's not about that team at all. It's got nothing to do with the Lions. At all, you could have been injured.
Yeah.
And I just remember seeing Kelly's face, and it felt like the same as me. And again, this isn't me saying that I should be on there with Scott Murray and Nathan Hines and Ewan Murray and Ross Ford and Sean Lamont and like these John Barclays from our generation. But there's a part of me that's a little bit bitter. I do have the worst win percentage of any Scotland rugby player ever in the Six Nations. So they might know that. How bad's that stat?
It's not great. Yeah, we chatted about that actually. That, and I think it was probably easy for me to say, yeah, but don't care, because I was on it. It's much easier.
if I thought that I hadn't filled the jersey and given my life to that team,
maybe you'd be added posthumously.
Yeah, but I don't want the Scott Hastings one. He had it himself, but he was a Lion, but he weren't on there. But then if you saw the board, he was on at the end.
Yeah, it's a funny one, isn't it?
They're these things that you think don't matter, but obviously it does
matter. Yeah, in fact, it's not fair. I mean, when I look back, I remember when Jamie Ritchie, it was actually, so they don't tell you you're on the board, whether that's right or wrong. There's no fanfare, which I quite like, actually. And Jamie Ritchie, he obviously played Blindside, was sat on my, and he obviously was in there week in, week out, and he sent me a picture, and I'd obviously just been added. And I remember thinking, fucking hell, I thought that was fucking cool. Yeah. I did think it was fucking cool.
Yeah.
Is that making you feel better?
No, it's just a topic of conversation. People listen to this and be like, oh, I couldn't care less.
I'd have you on there.
Yeah, you're biased.
No, I would.
You're biased.
I would, mate.
Right, World Cup, just around the corner. Who wins it?
Well, I would have said France, but Romain Intermac.
Big player.
Yeah. Although I did see an article, a bit nausea. Matthew Jalibert has almost the exact same stats. Did you see that in the Times?
I've seen it, yeah.
Yeah. I think New Zealand.
I do as well.
Look at us. I would love France to win it. Oh, I'd love it if France won it.
Yeah. I mean, for rugby, the two teams, France and Ireland.
Yeah.
Imagine Ireland winning it.
It'd be great for the game, but it'd be tough to swallow.
But imagine watching.
No,
going over to Ireland, that small.
The tiny country.
Emerald Island.
The World Cup, any World Cup or sporting event in France is unbelievable.
Mm.
It's unreal. We didn't get the full experience in 2007 because we were back and forth and we were at St. Etienne's football camp, which, how shit was that?
But saying that, what about the atmosphere? Well, Scotland-France game the weekend.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. It's going to be wild.
It's going to be wild. Yeah, it's going to be class. And that's probably when I'll look at it, I'll be like, that would have been, like, cause my World Cup experience were not great and yours probably similar.
Mm.
Like, this should be awesome.
It's going to be class.
Who do you think is going to win it? You think New Zealand?
I think New Zealand. Who do I want to win it? I obviously want Scotland to win it. I don't know. I don't want to put too much pressure on them. I just don't know how you get out of a pool with South Africa, Ireland.
But you said they're going to beat South Africa.
Tonga. Yeah, I do. I think we get out of the pool. But I don't think you get through that pool of a South Africa, Tonga and Ireland in decent nick to then play France or New Zealand, who have had a... Well, they've got their game at the beginning of the tournament and then they've got a walk through, no disrespect to Italy, to the quarterfinal.
Yeah.
I just don't think any team in our side of the pool does that. I don't think anyone gets through past the quarters. It's not what I want, but I think New Zealand. Yeah, I just think they are just a different level of class. The one thing will be for them, with Ian Foster leaving after the World Cup, like, as in, what's the culture like when the pressure really comes on?
But they've got a captain who's probably not the first choice either.
Yeah.
Sam Kane.
Mm. And then you look at, like, France, like you said, like Intermac, under pressure.
They got DuPont still.
Unbelievable. World's best player.
He's a joke.
You were talking about it on comms.
He's a joke.
He burst the ball, John, when he kicked it.
No, he's a joke.
He burst the ball.
When I watch him play rugby, I'm like, what sport was I trying to play? Because it wasn't that sport. He's doing, it's just...
Everything.
Tackle, done jackal what? Smart. Save your knees, big guy. Kick, pass, run.
Unbelievable. Stupid. Never looks flustered. Stupid. So they've got him. But then, no. And to Matt, South Africa, no 10. Well, they've got Lebok, but Pollard's injured. Yeah. Sia Khaleesi's.
He's back.
He's back, but how fit is he?
Yeah.
But they're monsters up front. Mate, it's hard. Hard to call, but you're going New Zealand?
Yeah, I'll go New Zealand.
All right.
And Scotland to get out of the pool.
Yeah, I'll go Scotland to get out of the pool. And give us a shit sandwich.
Hmm?
Where's the disaster? England, Wales, Australia.
I think Fiji will beat Wales.
So, yeah,
I think Argentina will beat England.
Do you?
Yeah.
Wowzers. It's going to be class. Rugby's fucked, apparently. No, it's
is
not.
It? No, it's not.
No, it's not. No, it's not. John Barclay, am I taking you out for dinner?
Yeah.
Where do you want to go?
How much money have we got?
No, I was going to say, we're not putting on World Rugby. This is not World Rugby. This is personal time.
Personal time.
We'll rock, paper, scissors. Go. Let's go.
1, 2, 3, show?
Yeah. 1, 2, 3, show. Sushi. I've got you. I love sushi. Without gluten. John Barclay. Loved it. Thank you.
Thanks, mate.
Summer's just around the corner, so give your body the care it deserves with Osea's best-selling Andaria Algae Body Oil. Created by infusing Andaria seaweed in barrels of botanical oils, it leaves skin silky soft and glowing. Plus, it's clinically proven to improve elasticity and deeply moisturize without feeling greasy. It's safe, clean, vegan skincare. Get 10% off your first order at OseaMalibu.com with code GLOW, plus free shipping on orders over $60.